Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We are going to have a wonderful conversation in just a moment, asking a pretty important question. How did modern human beings come to be? We'll be talking about what happened just a couple weeks ago, a huge discovery in South Africa where all these fossils were found, and it could be the origin of genus Homo, and we'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about German scientists identifying a man who had a recent Neanderthal ancestor. We thought we were better than the Neanderthals. Now it turns out that the Neanderthals are part of us. All of these remarkable discoveries. We love doing shows like that. And we'll meet our guest in just a moment. But I do want to tell you this, because this hour is very important in our fall membership drive. Every now and then we get one of these challenges. And during this hour, we are getting a challenge of $4,900 from the WPRA board and 9XM Leadership Circle members, and also Bill and Mary Niedermeyer of Madison, and supporters from Delafield. So if you give us your gift during the course of this hour, it'll be matched up to $4,900 by all of these people. So it's a wonderful hour to give, because as we've said before, it's double your money. So here's the pledge number. Keep it in mind during the hour, please. 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or go to WPR.org. So not only can you double your money, but you'll also find out where in the world we came from. So how can you beat an hour like this, right? Earlier this summer, a team of German scientists identified a man who was living 40,000 years ago in what is now Romania, and they found that he had a recent Neanderthal ancestor, and it's prompting a major reconsideration of our ideas about who the Neanderthals were and how modern human beings came to be. And then, of course, just a couple weeks ago, a large number of fossils were found in September in a South African cave. And the mystery man, I look at these pictures, it's like going to the zoo and seeing an ape, and you just are transfixed by this. I'm transfixed by this mystery man on the cover of National Geographic, which could be the origin of our genus Homo between 2 and 3 million years ago. Who are we? This hour with Professor Mike White. He's a biochemist who practices molecular biology, genetics, computational biology, and synthetic biology, assistant professor in the Department of Genetics and the Center for Genome Sciences at the Washington University School of Medicine, and he also writes a science column for Pacific Standard. We'll be starting with this huge discovery and its profound implications. And we will move on to Neanderthals and welcome your phone calls. I'm sure many of you have been riveted by all of these discoveries. Our phone number is 800-486-8655 to be on air. 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Professor Mike White, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
Yeah, well, it's shaking up all of these discoveries, what we know about who we were. Let's start with this discovery in South Africa. I've looked at these beings, the drawings that they have drawn, and they look, their hands and their feet are just like ours, and they look so much like us. This has been hailed as a very profound discovery. Is it, in your mind, a profound discovery?
Yeah, it's huge. Although it may be one of those discoveries that actually raises more questions than it answers. Maybe those are the best kinds of discoveries.
Right
now, it is. You talk about the pictures. This Homo naledi is very. It's weird. That's the word I've heard used to describe it. It looks. You said kind of like something you might see in a zoo, but it also has very human-like features, and
yes,
that's what makes it so strange. But one of the big mysteries is that the anthropologists who discovered it actually haven't managed to put a date on it yet. They're not sure. It could be, you know, between 1 to 2 to 3 million years old. It could also be a lot later. And when they finally put a date on it, that could raise even more questions. Is this one of the earliest members of the genus Homo? You know, one of the earliest ancestors of our family of species, or is it a recent cousin, as the National Geographic article puts it?
Oh, interesting. One of the things that people made so much of was that a lot of these bones, and there were so many of them, were found in this cave. It was as though this group of, I don't know whether to call them people or what to call them, deliberately were disposing of their dead in a place where it was away from everything else, which many were surprised by because their brains were so small.
Yeah, that's really striking, this sort of ritualized, this sort of clearly, you know, this clear behavior in how they handle their dead, if this was indeed a burial, is unusual. And I think it's actually unprecedented for a fossil, for a species that lived several million years ago, if that's when, in fact, the species lived. So that really does show very human-like behavior in this this hominin is what they call them. You know, not quite human, but they're not apes. They're hominins, part of the genus Homo.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really does suggest that it's a kind of a being we're just not familiar with these days. See, we live in a remarkable time where there's really only one human species on Earth right now, Homo sapiens. And but you go back a little ways, and over the past 2 or 3 million years, there hasn't been just one human species. There have usually been multiple species around, and they're all very different in some ways, that they have some similarities because they're all part of the genus Homo. And so it's kind of hard to imagine this sort of part ape, part human being that buried its dead deep in this cave, but that's what makes it so interesting and weird.
Is it hard, Professor White, to determine how old these fossils are?
Well, that's a little beyond what I do for a living and my expertise. But what I gather is normally when you find a fossil, it's buried somewhat. So mm-hmm. You know, you look at the earth, the sediments below the fossil and the sediments above the fossil, and those can be dated, and you can have a pretty good idea of roughly when that fossil, was when the creature died. But in the case of this newer find, they were just lying there at the bottom of the cave, so it makes it much more difficult to date. I'm sure they'll be able to do it, but that's one reason why they published the results of their find in September, but they did it without a date.
Right. You also have written about this other remarkable find earlier this summer, German scientists identifying this person who lived 40,000 years ago who had a recent Neanderthal, either great-grandparent or great-great-grandparent ancestor, and we tend to think of ourselves as way beyond and above the Neanderthals, and it turns out they're part of us. That's a huge discovery, isn't it?
That's an incredible change from what we think popularly and what scientists had thought even just a few years ago. Right, we sort of think of Neanderthals as these primitive versions of humans, and we're beyond them. But as the new evidence comes in, it seems like they help make us what we are today. And what's really transformed this is this ability to study ancient DNA. This is a technology we just didn't have until a few years ago.
Hmm.
But now they can go to these 40, 50, and sometimes even 60,000-year-old bones.
Amazing.
And pull the DNA out. It's incredible. And then they can look at it. And because DNA, in a sense, is digital, right? DNA is made up of essentially 3 billion chemical letters. There are many places where you can compare, say, the DNA from a Neanderthal with the DNA of a human being, and it allows you to draw these kinds of conclusions like they had in the paper that, oh, this person had a great-great-great-grandparent who was a Neanderthal. It would be tough to determine from the bones. You know, you're asking, well, is this little bump here a little bigger? Is that that ridge there a little smaller? But with DNA, it's digital, and it's a lot easier to make those kinds of conclusions.
So are we all carrying Neanderthal DNA?
Well, certainly all of us who don't have recent African ancestry, so most people of Western European ancestry have around 1 to 3% of their DNA from Neanderthals. certain parts of Asia and Australia and Micronesia, you have even higher amounts from either Neanderthals or even another ancient human species called Denisovans. And then we even see some in some populations in Africa, which may mean that humans who lived in Europe, who mixed with Neanderthals, may have migrated to some degree back to Africa and exchanged genes there. So the Neanderthal DNA has surely spread around the world.
Wow. So what do you think was the attraction between humans and Neanderthals?
Yeah, that's a great question.
What did they see in each other?
Yeah, because they were clearly very different culturally, biologically. In fact, you take any two humans from any part of the world today, and we're a pretty tight-knit species, genetically, biologically, in spite of the sort of visual differences we have when you look at people from different parts of the world. We're a pretty tight-knit species, and so the differences between us and Neanderthals are actually much more profound biologically. So those early humans in Europe and Asia who encountered Neanderthals, they must have seemed pretty strange.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about all of this in a moment. These remarkable discoveries that really change the answer to the question, who are we? I guess at this point, we're not exactly sure who we are. The DNA, as our guest said, advancements in the last couple of years have made us discover that, we thought we were much better than the Neanderthals, but we're Neanderthal because the Neanderthals and the humans hooked up, and then we got something different. Plus this major find in South Africa, it's all absolutely fascinating. And we welcome your on-air calls as well for our guest, and the number is 800-486-8655. These huge discoveries, 800-486-8655. We'd like very much to hear from you. And our guest is Professor Michael White, who's a biologist in the Department of Genetics at Washington University School of Medicine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and if you didn't know, this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. These are fascinating conversations that we have every day. I know that many of you are fascinated by all this DNA discovery and the Neanderthals and the bones in South Africa and figuring out who we are and where we came from. You count on us. Who else does these kinds of great discussions? And it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions happen every single day. Give now, please, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Lisa.
So last hour during Chapter of Day, 20 of you decided to support WPR.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you so much for those pledges. And right now, it's such a fun hour to pledge, like Kathleen mentioned at the top of the hour, because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,900. This awesome match is from the WPRA board and 9XM leadership members Bill and Mary Niedermeyer of Madison, as well as supporters from Delafield. And it means they'll match every you give. It's
very
amazing.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And Kathleen, they do these, members do these challenge grants because they want to encourage you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So we have this match this hour, of course, but anytime you pledge during this drive, you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. So donate any amount during our fall membership drive, and you have a chance to win a really unique adventure. And listen to these destinations: Cuba, South Africa, or the Canadian Rockies.
Nice.
I know. So recap this hour. Double your support for the programs you love and get entered to win the drawing. Give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
What an hour. And we want to meet these goals for this challenge grant. They don't happen very often. So it's double your money, up to $4,900, which means now is the time for you to give us your support. These kinds of conversations, how many places devote an hour to a conversation about where we came from and how where we came from the DNA advancement is changing the ideas of where we came from. It's just really fascinating. Well, you come here, you come to the Ideas Network. You don't just get a little bitty sound clip or a little bit of conversation. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and also to ask questions. We are a wonderful source of in-depth information. WPR.org 888-202-2552. You're the one who makes it possible.
That's right. And by giving to WPR, you support your favorite shows and you support your community. And to thank you, we have something really special during the fall membership drive. Remember to ask for the WPR water bottle when you give $12.50 a month, which is about $150 or more a year. The water bottle holds 27 ounces, it's stainless steel, and it has a very modern and clean WPR design on it. And you have two color options to choose from. What more do you need? So ask for the water bottle now. Show your support for WPR, all when you make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to South Africa, Cuba, or Canada. When you give, you're automatically entered, but you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
Easy to make a pledge. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we're asking for your support. Your gift might be $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount. Some of them can afford more than that, some not as much. It's okay.
If you were to ask any WPR member, hey, why do you support WPR? Though it will probably tell you that it just feels better to listen to WPR when you're a member of WPR. It's this feeling that they have some sort of ownership in making these really special conversations happen. So be part of making great radio happen with your first ever gift of, say, $5 or $10 a month. It starts with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Radio is such a wonderful medium. It complements anything else you're doing. If you want to, as I do, feed the dog, make breakfast, have the dog go outside, listen to the radio while you're doing that, have a little bit of cup of coffee, get the thermos, bring it to work. It's upstairs. Radios are everywhere. And they're wonderful. Or if you just want to sit on the couch and listen. Unlike TV or reading, you can drive while listening to the radio, get ready for work. Radio's been around forever. We are almost 100 years old. It's great. It doesn't drain your energy. It makes you think more. We remember more. A study has done what we hear on the radio than any other medium, which is interesting. And it enriches anything else you're doing. We are listener-supported radio. Your contribution, and please make it this hour. We really want to get this extra $4,900 because who wouldn't? So it's double your money.
That's
it's
right.
This hour. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
One way to think about your pledge to WPR is that it's a way to support your future listening with just a couple minutes of your time and your donation in whatever amount it feels right for you. You'll get a lot of great programming. So donate WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And in just a few minutes, you've made a wise investment and you'll get a little dividend every single day back.
Our dollar-for-dollar match, Lisa, is still in effect. We have 31 pledges to go during the course of this hour, so let's step it up. Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And as Lisa said, this is quite an hour because as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, you will be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, you are automatically entered. And we're offering something cool and handy, which is what, Lisa?
The beautiful water bottle.
Absolutely.
You pick the color.
You pick the color, too.
Right. Well, right. We don't need any more. And Nancy from Wausau, I think, says, I donate because I love WPR's fair and balanced reporting. Thank you so much, Nancy, for all of your support. So support your WPR listening. Contribute right now.
Yes,
WPR.org.
Yeah, and remember that challenge up to $4,900. Right. So let's move it along.
This hour
get that
only.
Money and
yep.
Everybody will be darned happy. Thank you, Lisa. We're talking about these remarkable discoveries, the discovery in South Africa, and UW-Madison scientists were involved in that discovery. And then also this discovery that our guest, Michael White, has written about, German scientists who have found that somebody living 40,000 years ago had a Neanderthal ancestor. DNA is so sophisticated now that we're learning things that we never thought were possible. We didn't think we had Neanderthal in us, but we do. So it all brings into question where we came from. And that's what we're talking about this hour. Don't you love that? Where do we come from? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we're going to go to your phone calls, and we'll start with Carol in Glendale. Hi, Carol.
Hi, hello. Yes, interesting program. And what caught my attention, I mean, one thing, you said, the burial in the cave. Mm-hmm. And, if they millions of years old, these people with the small brains, burying their dead. And you said that's what makes it interesting and weird. Well, the size of the brain, I think at this time with our fantastic, what we've done with computers, it used to take huge computers to get what we now have in a microchip. Mm-hmm. Size, we are so what with size. The size is not the important thing. Okay, so the size of the brain, the burial, my God, that's a wonderful thing. But the thing of the how they were such different species, and the thing about the Neanderthal together with the other, and I think we give Neanderthal a bum rap, they are primitive people. Hey, Neanderthal, okay, so they co-joined, or they did an interspecies thing. They found one another. They had similarity.
Uh-huh.
They found one another attractive. I mean, today, here, we on Earth, we have interspecies love and relationships. It exists, and it's really, they were similar. They had things, but mm-hmm. however, they both wound up in the same place.
Hmm. Professor White,
yeah, no, it's a good point. Size doesn't always. Isn't the only thing that matters. It's also how your brain is wired up. We certainly don't have the largest brains in the animal kingdom. And in fact, if I recall correctly, Neanderthals had a pretty similar brain size to Homo sapiens. To
really?
Us. Yeah. There's not the difference really isn't in the brain size. So how it's wired is important.
Mm-hmm. And tell me when, I don't know if we've gotten this far or not, but the advantages of having Neanderthal and humans mating with each other is that it would allow that combination perhaps to do some things that you couldn't do if you didn't have Neanderthal in you, and what might those things be?
Yeah, so that's one of the most exciting things to come out of these latest genetic studies of Neanderthal and other ancient human DNA. It's this phenomenon called adaptive introgression. It sounds very jargony, but really what it means is that one species or population that is sort of a newcomer to an area. So modern humans were newcomers to Europe and Asia. We came out of Africa about 50,000 years ago. Neanderthals had been there quite a while, for hundreds of thousands of years. They had time to adapt to the different climate, the different diseases, the different foods. And so some of the genes that humans picked up from Neanderthals and other ancient human species seem to have helped them adapt. So I think one of the most striking examples is in Tibet. Tibetans, they live at very high altitudes, and it requires, many of us, if we go to a high altitude place, we get altitude sickness.
Sure.
Not a big deal for the Tibetans, and so it looks like they may have picked up a version of a gene from Denisovans, which are like Neanderthals, that helped them adapt to high altitude. So it turns out to be beneficial in that way.
And Mike, tell me more about the scientific advances, the technological advances that have allowed us just in the last couple of years to be able to pinpoint this Neanderthal DNA that we couldn't even a couple of years ago. What happened?
Yeah, so there are really two aspects of that. The first is sort of the technology for doing what we call sequencing DNA, for basically decoding it. You put these machines that read out the sequence of chemical letters. Back when we were doing the Human Genome Project in the late 1990s, these machines were slow and cumbersome, and they required a lot of DNA, and they required big pieces of DNA. These newer machines are fast. They can work with small pieces of DNA. And that's important because when you pull DNA out of a fossil that's been sitting there for 40,000 years, it's broken up into small pieces. And the other aspect of this is that we've gotten very good, in particular the German lab that you mentioned, the Svante Paavo at the University of Leipzig, they've become very skilled at pulling out Neanderthal DNA from all the contaminating DNA. There are bacteria and other things around there that have clearly been on that fossil for thousands
sure.
and thousands of years.
Yeah.
And so sort of these two things have made it possible, and really only in the last 6 or 7 years has the technology become good enough to do this.
That's absolutely remarkable. Let's take one more call for you, and we'll take more, though. Roger in Milwaukee. Hi, Roger.
Good morning. Good afternoon,
good
actually.
Good afternoon, Roger.
I was wondering, my question is, in the cave, were there any crude or rudimentary tools or perhaps markings that might have indicated that this was a burial ground? In other words, some remaining implement that might have given you an idea as to their intellectual abilities.
So I don't think they have found yet anyway any tools or artifacts like that. I think the idea is that they would drop the bodies down this chute into this cave and leave them there. Whether that was just to remove a dead body from a campsite, or whether there was some ritual associated with it, I don't think it's clear at all.
Mm-hmm. You know, you look at those pictures and just common sense tells you we've got their hands and feet.
Oh, yes.
Really, there they are. There they are.
Yeah, they're so similar and yet so strange at the same time. And why it's so remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been this this really gets back to the roots of our not only our species but our genus, the hominins, the Homo genus, or Homo sapiens, how we had our modern features. And what it shows is that not all of our modern features, you know, our long legs, our skulls, and all that sort of happened at once. They didn't all evolve at once. They
mm-hmm.
sort of changed at different varying paces, at a different pace. So the Homo naledi has sort of these shoulders and fingers that still look like they were built for climbing trees.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have legs and hands. You talked about their feet, their human-like feet, that seem to be better built for walking. So they really are, in that sense, a missing link
mm-hmm.
in our evolution.
Yeah. I've often thought it'd be nice if we could still climb. So we'll ask Professor Michael White, why did we lose that? Why did we lose climbing? It'd be fun to climb trees and climb all kinds of things, wouldn't it? A little added something to being human. We're talking about these remarkable discoveries in South Africa, all of those fossils that were found. The Mystery Man is on the cover of National Geographic, and also discovering this summer that we have Neanderthal ancestors. We thought we were better than they were, but they're a part of us. So who are we is the conversation this hour with Professor Mike White, biochemist who practices molecular biology, genetics, and many other things. He's in the Department of Genetics at the Washington University School of Medicine. And we're welcoming phone calls from you. Our on-air number is 800-486-8655. Also this hour, I'm Kathleen Dunn. As you probably know, Lisa Nalbandian is you probably know, is with me in our studios in Milwaukee. This is our fall membership drive, and I know that you love conversations like this, and we rely on you to keep conversations like this on the air. Your gift right now, any amount makes a difference, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect just this hour from the WPRA board, 9XM Leadership Circle members Bill and Mary Niedermeyer of Madison, as well as many supporters from the Delafield area. And how this works is when you give $50, that gift turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. All the way up to almost $5,000 this hour. I know. Mm-hmm. It's such a great hour to pledge, especially for new members, right? Mm-hmm.
Pledgelings, we call
them.
Yeah,
pledgelings. That's right.
We made up a word yesterday. Right.
Take advantage of this offer right now and double your support for WPR programs. When you give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And with any amount that you pledge during the drive, you're going to be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. And these are some spectacular trips. Like, it's Cuba, South Africa, or visit the Canadian Rockies by train. So pledge now. And you don't have to donate to enter. I should say that as well. Just go to WPR.org for all the details. So double the impact of your pledge. Take an international vacation with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know many of you love conversations like the one we're having about who we are. Who are we? What have we learned this summer? It's an example of the important and really interesting conversations that we have on this show and on the whole network. So we ask you to take just a few moments to make this hour possible, and many more that you'll hear in the future. Choose a gift amount that is good for you. Make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And for this drive, you can choose the new WPR water bottle as your thank you gift. That's for your pledge. It's for $12.50 a month or about $150 for the whole year. And you're going to love this water bottle. It has everything you need. It's stainless steel. It holds 27 ounces. And most importantly, it has a WPR logo right on it. And it's a fresh design. And you can choose from two color combinations.
Whoa,
there you go.
It doesn't get better.
Yeah. So you can check out the color combinations when you pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. So pledge right now and show your WPR pride.
Hi, I'm John White. Let's talk about public radio. I've been listening to public radio for about 15 years. Civil discourse makes public broadcasting all the more valuable because it sifts out the noise, the anger, and agenda setting of commercial media. That's why public radio is my source for the gold standard in fair and honest discussion.
Nice. Pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. This is the hour, up to $4,900 due to the generosity of listeners to this network. Your dollar will be matched. It'll be matched, so it's double what you pledge, which is terrific. We're asking for your support, Lisa and I, of WPR during this fall membership drive. Your gift might be $10 or $20 a month, and we thank you for whatever you can give us.
One way, kind of a fun way to think about your pledge to WPR today is like being part of an old-fashioned potluck.
Okay.
Your contribution of $5 like combines with someone else's contribution of $10 a month, and it just creates this bonanza that everyone can enjoy. So, you know what? Let's just have an old-fashioned WPR potluck. The bottom line really is that listeners make up the single largest piece of our budget. Add something to that pot right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The kind of radio that you expect on WPR costs some money, and public radio listeners like you become public radio members to help pay the costs. So how about moving from a listener to a public radio member? Make your contribution during this hour with a secure pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you decide how much to give to WPR. A gift of any amount makes a difference. And here are some ways to think about your membership amount. Maybe it's the same amount you pay per month for Netflix. Or maybe it's how much you pay for cable every month. Or coffee every day, which, like WPR, is probably something you turn to first thing in the morning, like I do. So pledge now. You pick the amount. Your pledge makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. Give now up to $4,900. We're getting there, Lisa, but we got to move a little bit to reach the goal. So this is a great hour for you to give your gift to us. And remember, you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, you are already entered. Support your WPR listening by contributing now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, for this pledge drive, you can choose the WPR water bottle, $12.50 a month or more, or $150 a year or more. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, the remarkable discovery of the fossils in South Africa, which could be the origin of our genus Homo, and also this discovery in Romania, what is now Romania, of a man who lived just 40,000 years ago and had a recent Neanderthal ancestor. That kind of shakes up our thoughts about ourselves and about Neanderthals. So we're welcoming your conversation with our guest. 800-486-8655 is our number. Paul from Milwaukee, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I was wondering if the doctor wanted to comment on the Denisovans, another recent genetic find.
Yeah, The Denisovans are remarkable because we don't really have any bones for them except for one little piece of a finger bone from a cave in Siberia. And they pulled DNA out of that, and from that alone they were able to tell it wasn't Neanderthal. So they named them Denisovans. So perhaps someday, just like this find in South Africa, we'll actually find a cave or something else with an actual Denisovan skeleton or part of it somewhere, and we'll know more about them. But right now they're a pretty big mystery. But we do know that they interbred with modern humans in Asia, and their DNA contributed to the DNA of humans today.
So how many more might be out there that have yet to be discovered? If we're just finding these now in 2015, there might be many more, do you think?
Yeah, there certainly could be many more. That's what's so remarkable about this find in South Africa, is that despite many, many decades of searching for fossils, we're still turning up new finds. And in the genetic data that's coming out, there's evidence that for example, the Denisovans interbred with another form of ancient human, and we have no idea what that is. We don't have any fossil for it, but the genetic evidence in the Denisovans suggests that they picked up some genes from some other closely related human. So there are probably many more finds out there.
Yeah. And the Denisovans were in Africa as well, or were they somewhere else, Professor White?
No, so they are. You can think of them as like Neanderthals. They had probably been in sort of Eastern Europe and Asia for hundreds of thousands of years. And that's also true of the Neanderthals. The Neanderthals are descended from an older species of version of human that came out of Africa and settled in Europe and Asia. So they are probably, you know, the Denisovans, I think, represent really an Asian version of human.
Mm. And what would prompt anybody to leave Africa?
That's a good question, but we've done it again and again. I guess the genus Homo is a pretty restless species that goes out and explores. So some of the oldest fossil of the genus Homo was found in the Caucasus in Georgia, dated to 1.8 million years ago.
Wow.
There are fossil footprints of another ancient human in Britain dated to 900,000 years ago. So there were ancient humans, archaic humans, that are not the modern ones, throughout throughout Europe and Asia almost a million years ago or more.
Hmm. And how long on Earth have we all been Homo sapiens?
The best guess right now is that Homo sapiens evolved in Africa somewhere around 100, 150,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And but there were older Homo species that just kept leaving Africa. There were, you know, our Homo sapiens left, the ancestors of the Neanderthals left, Homo erectus, which is the species found in Georgia, left almost 2 million years ago. So we've been evolving in Africa and then leaving, and setting out to colonize the rest of the world.
So in terms of this huge find in South Africa just a couple of weeks ago, how long will it take for us to get all the information that is still up in the air? How long ago these people lived and where they fit in the chain? Is this years, or are things moving so rapidly that within the next year we'll know a lot more about our whoever they are?
That's a good question. I know with some of these, when they make new fossil finds, it actually does take years to put together to answer many of the questions and put together all of the parts of the puzzle that are missing. As far as finding a date goes, that perhaps might come sooner. There are sort of established techniques for doing that. But I think we'll be learning from this, from these fossils, for years, from this new find in South Africa. Mm.
It must, even you more than most of us, every time I sit out and look at stars, you get taken off into this place of who are we, where are we in the universe. When you study this, when you look at these creatures, it just kind of stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? To think of all of the people who lived here and all of their combinations that had to exist in order for us to exist. It just is dumbfounding.
It's awe-inspiring.
Yes.
And, yeah. And it's clear that just throughout human history, sort of modern humans like us, and then the more ancient forms of Homo species, we've been interacting with each other. We've been traveling the world. We've been hooking up. We've been encountering each other, and it's just been going on for more than 2 million years.
And are we at the point where, when will we be at the point where we'll be able to figure out exactly what percentage of our makeup as human beings walking the Earth now might be a little bit Neanderthal, a little bit some of these other species?
Well, I think the number we have now, you know, roughly between 1 and 3% probably won't change too much. Most of our DNA really does come from our ancestors who evolved in Africa 100,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as we find more Neanderthal samples, as we find perhaps more Denisovan samples or other examples, and we manage to get DNA from them, or even more exciting, if we can get DNA from even older fossils. Right now the oldest are from about 60,000 years ago. But if we could go back even more and get DNA, that's sure to shake up what we know, or what impose some new mysteries about how we came to be who we are.
Yeah. So what are you studying now, Professor White?
So I'm very interested in how our genes make us who we are. And so what's interesting to me about the Neanderthal finds is you can compare our DNA today to the Neanderthals and even learn a little bit about disease, what makes us different from each other, why some of us are more likely to get some diseases than others. So I'm interested in the genes, that how our genes make us different, how they make us who we are, and how they make us very similar to each other.
Hmm. Marcus writes on Facebook with a touch of humor, "I can only say what it says about my own evolution. I get better looking every day." Although,
I guess maybe the Neanderthals thought they were better looking. So.
Yeah, maybe they did. But there is such a difference in terms of, I'm sorry, I'll just use my own prejudice here, but in terms of not looking as early ancestor, the Neanderthals look like they're not quite there yet. When you look at these fossils and the pictures from the South African finds, they're very, kind of delicate creatures.
Yeah, they're very... very different. I'm sure they were attractive to each other at that time, and they thought they looked better, perhaps, than modern humans wandering around.
Yeah, I wonder if they knew what they looked like. Probably not. Or maybe they did. I don't know.
Yeah, and some of them, so the species Homo erectus, for example, which lived apparently at the same time as this Homo naledi, who's actually quite close to what we look like. And I don't know, if you dressed one of those up in a suit and had him walk around downtown Manhattan or Milwaukee, you know, you may not tell the difference.
Oh, why don't you try that, really?
Yeah.
I think you should. That would be fun. Thank you ever so much for being with us. It's really absolutely fascinating, just riveting.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our guest, Professor Michael White, biologist in the Department of Genetics at the Washington University School of Medicine, talking about this huge find just a few weeks ago in South Africa, and UW-Madison people were involved in that. And then also a discovery that Neanderthals have contributed to our gene pool. Isn't this something? I just love this. I just love learning about this. We learned so much. Don't we learn so much? Every day we learn so much. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. And we do want to ask you for your support of WPR. You rely on us for informative, in-depth discussions, and we rely on you to keep these programs on the air. So your gift of whatever you can give us makes a huge difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello again, Lisa.
Hello. And remember, whether you're joining for the first time this drive or you're renewing your membership or you're making an additional gift this drive, you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. And these trips are pretty spectacular. You can celebrate the culture of Cuba, experience South Africa, or see the beautiful Canadian Rockies by train. So you don't have to donate to enter. Just go to WPR.org for all the details. Double your gift, remember, because we have that the match this hour, and
yes,
get entered in the drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Didn't you just love this last hour discussion? I just love learning all of that. It's just so interesting. It's just interesting. So take a few minutes to make this hour and all the conversations we'll have about all the discoveries that we're yet to make, and choose a gift amount that works for you and make your pledge, please. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kathleen, I think what you said makes a ton of sense. You know, remember, when you pledge, you decide the right amount for you and your family. Every pledge makes an impact, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And remember, during this drive, you can ask for the new WPR water bottle. It's stainless steel, and you can choose between one design is light blue with a yellow design, or you can choose dark blue with a light blue design. So you show your support for WPR and ask for this water bottle when you give $12.50 a month or $150 more a year. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Hi, this is Jonathan Overby, host of Higher Ground. Join me for an unforgettable trip to Cuba. This February, you could escape the Wisconsin winter for a warm and exciting tour of Cuba. You'll hear and experience traditional music, dancing and drumming sessions, visit museums, landmarks, and the home of Ernest Hemingway. Enjoy the spirit and rhythm of the island as you stroll through old Havana's colorful plazas and cruise the famed Malecón. This Cuban experience is just one of three trips you'll get to choose from when you win our Choose Your Own Adventure drawing during this membership drive. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Get all the details at WPR.org/drawing or enter with your pledge right now. Here's how, and good luck.
And you can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just a suggestion, your gift of $10, $20 a month would be very nice, and thank you.
And if listening to WPR is worth, say, right around $4 a day to you, you probably want to consider becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs, and that works out to just about $4 a day. So if $4 a day sounds about right to you, consider that $1,200 gift and join many others in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We ask you to take a moment to move from a listener to a public radio member. member. Make your contribution, as Lisa said, any amount. It's a secure pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
New members are so important. Because of new members, we're able to increase and improve our services every year. When you join WPR for the first time, it shows that you're willing to stand up and be counted as the next WPR member. So pledge right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for all of your support. Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs that you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment alive for years and years. Give now whatever amount is comfortable for you, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You want to read Lisa Maxine's comments?
Sure.
I love this.
Maxine from Kewaunee says, if only I could multiply my donation by 1,000, I gladly would. Thank you for every joyous moment. Oh my goodness, Maxine, thank you so much for your support. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And thank you all very much. We really need you, and we thank you for all of your support. You're incredibly important to our very existence. News is coming up.